Please stand now. The opening hymn is 688, I think. Celebration this morning of the Holy Eucharist, right through, begins on page 355 of the Red Prayer Books, page 355, as we remain standing for a little bit. At the top of the page, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts this morning, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. You now. Thank you. As we remain standing, let us pray together the collect for this week, the 17th Sunday after the day of Pentecost, the contemporary version on one of the bulletin inserts. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And a collect for a church convention. Almighty and everlasting Father, you have given the Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. Bless, we pray, with his grace and presence, the bishop and the other clergy and the laity, soon to be assembled in your name in 2 weeks in Anchorage, that your church, being preserved in true faith and godly discipline, may fulfill all the mind of him who loved it and gave himself for it, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Okay, everybody take a deep breath for a minute. We're going to do something new. Sunday school is beginning now. And so everybody involved with Sunday school or wants to be involved with Sunday school or curious about Sunday school or wants to help Sunday school, follow Patty Merritt.
And that includes teenagers.
Teenagers.
To come and help.
So.
Sort of reluctantly.
There's somebody over there that needs this. Are you ready? Can you catch it?
Look out.
Let's go.
All right, there you go.
Right here, second pew.
Careful, careful.
Will you come with us? Let's go.
Go for it. So they're all going to go that way.
All right.
See?
Will you come with us?
They're all going that way. And all the rest of us can be seated for our own version. The first reading.
The first reading this morning comes to us from the book of Esther. So the king and Haman went into feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me. That is my petition, and the lives of my people. That is my request. For we have been sold, and I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he, and where is he, who has presumed to do this?" Esther said, "A foe and my enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king, said, "Look, the very gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, stands at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days on which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, for days sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today I'm going to ask you to read this in unison, because it says, "Let Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side..."
Let Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when enemies rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us up alive in their fierce anger towards us. Then when the waters have overwhelmed us, and the torrent gone over us, then when the raging waters have gone right over us, blessed be the Lord. He has not given us over to be a prey for their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help was in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Please remain seated now for the second reading.
This is a reading from the letter of James. "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hymn 609.
our Lord Jesus Christ, bring to mind.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Jesus, of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worms never die and the fires never quench. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Seated if possible. I thought, since we already started this, I thought we might do something different this morning again. Since Sunday school is beginning, I thought we might take note of that. And because I'm sure you remember last Sunday and the lessons last Sunday, when St. Paul said it's important to know the sacred story that you've been hearing since you were a little kid, so I thought we ought to do something different right about now. Now, unless the last two services have been rowdier than usual, I looked before we began this morning, I think there's a Bible, there's at least one Bible in every pew. So we're going to play a game. I'd like to invite you to get that Bible. And if there's at least one Bible in every pew, and if there's more of you in that pew than just one person, you might have to share. So here's those Bibles sitting in the pews. And we're going to play a game. It's got a prize. I'll give a prize. And I can tell you, at the 8 o'clock service, the prize was a single slice of Spam that you can buy now. And at the 9 o'clock service, the prize was a real rock from the north bank of the Yukon River. And now there's this prize, and you don't know what it is. I'll give a prize to the first person that can find the book of Esther in that Bible and tell me what two books it's between. The book of Esther, not Ezra. No, I want to know what two books is it between. So you got to do...
Nehemiah and Job.
There you go. Whoa. Well, here's the book of Esther between Nehemiah and Job. There's your prize. I have no idea what to do with it, but it looked biblical. It's a pomegranate. There you go. So the book of Esther lives there between Nehemiah and Job. You want to hear a silly Sunday school joke? Who's the shortest person in the Bible? Nehemiah. Gene liked it. I got it? Okay. So the book of Esther lives there between Nehemiah and Job. And trust me, I've been a member of the Episcopal Church since 1842. And I can tell you this, that you have never, if you've been a member of the Episcopal Church, you have never sat in an Episcopal Church on Sunday and heard a reading from the book of Esther like you did this morning. You've never heard a reading from the book of Esther. And I can tell you, speaking as a member of the Episcopal Church since 1842, chances are you've never heard a sermon on the book of Esther because it just didn't show up in the readings. And so folks don't talk about it. So most of us, as at the 8 o'clock when I said find the book of Esther, somebody said, is that in the Bible? Most of us don't even know it's in the Bible. But Jim just read from it, and we all said together at the end of it, the word of the Lord. So there it is, the book of Esther, first reading. And I can tell you, because I looked at the internet last night, most of the things you look at on Saturday night to figure out what to talk about on Sunday morning stuff on the internet, as they talked about the lessons this morning, said, just skip the book of Esther. Don't even go into it. Just pretend it didn't happen. Don't talk about it. Because it's too complicated. Because you'll have to talk for half an hour to explain what the story is, to explain what that first reading was all about. But some of me is only 12 years old, and if everyone says, don't do this, I'm usually going to do it. If somebody says, don't go there, I'm usually going to go there. So if I get all these people saying, don't talk about the book of Esther, I'm going to talk about the book of Esther. And only the internet's right. I mean, that it's complicated. It's a nice story. It's a neat story. And now that you found it in the Bible, you can go home and read it. I'm not going to tell you the story. I will be talking here until Christmas. It's really not that long. It's only 10 chapters. It's a good story to read. There's interesting people in it. There's a beautiful queen, and her name is Esther. There's a really nice, friendly, good family member, maybe an uncle named Mordecai, who does good things. And there's a really bad guy named Haman, who's a really bad guy. And in fact, in the Jewish synagogue, and there's essays about this, is kind of where Jewish theater started, when they read this story, and every time Haman's name is mentioned, everybody boos and hisses. So if we were doing this like that, when Jim stood up to read the king and Haman, everybody would have gone, boo. And it gets so big with this that the rabbi, because later on it says Haman's a really bad guy. And so later on, the later on it says his name will be blotted out. So the rabbis used to write his name on two rocks. And at the end of it, when his name is blotted out, they would smash the rocks together until the name didn't show up on the rocks anymore. Because he's a bad guy. And later on, this turned into the fact, instead of banging rocks around together, they have noisemakers. They make noise. If you ever go, you'll see them. So here's the book of Esther with bad guys and beautiful queens. And more or less, the story is Esther is the story is set in Persia, modern day Iran, about four centuries before the birth of Christ. Esther is the queen of this giant empire, but the king doesn't know that she's Jewish. Haman is like the prime minister or the assistant or whatever of the king. He sets up this deal where he's going to kill all the Jewish people in the empire. And Esther has to decide whether she's going to speak up against this and reveal that she's Jewish or not, putting herself at risk. And the passage we have today, she reveals that she is Jewish, and the king says, oh my gosh, that's terrible. We won't kill off all the Jews, and so they kill the bad guy. Haman. Who's boo, hiss, hiss, boo. Boo, yeah, there you go, boo, hiss. And so, then notice that it was in this morning's lesson. It says, after all this had worked out, then Mordecai, the kindly uncle, cousin, sent a letter to all the empire explaining how Esther had saved everybody. Yay, and how everybody was saved. Yay. And from now on, on the 14th day of the month of Adar, you will remember this day. And so, in the springtime, when you and I are watching dog races and everything else, Jewish people celebrate the holiday of Purim. And this whole story is read with everybody clapping and yelling and booing and hissing. And people wear costumes and masks. I'll tell you why in a minute. And it's a big holiday. Remember, it says there, you gladness, feasting, send gifts. And don't forget to send gifts to the poor. And it becomes a big holiday, the holiday of Purim. So it's kind of fun to know all that. Da, 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 da. And there's other things going on in the story. There's a lot of drinking, for example, and that's part of the things you're supposed to actually do in the celebration of the holiday. The whole story begins with, in case you had a bad weekend, the whole story begins with a six-month wine drinking party. And you'll notice in this one, they've been drinking wine for 2 days before the story gets started in this passage. So there's a lot of drinking going on in the story, but it all works out okay. Yay, and the good people win, the Jews win, da 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 da. But here's the funny thing about the book of Esther. And maybe the reason why it wasn't in the lectionary before this year, and why you never heard a sermon about it. The funny thing about the book of Esther is God's name is never mentioned in the whole book. Huh, said everybody. I mean, really, everybody goes, huh. God's name is never mentioned in the whole book. When the bad guy's about to kill off all the Jews, nobody says, let's pray to God. When they all get saved, nobody says, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord of hosts, or whatever. God's name is never mentioned in the whole story. And that's a little strange. Has said everybody. I mean, you know, huh?
Does it say why he wants to
kill all the Jews? I forget. He's just a bad guy. You know, he's built a gallows 50 cubits high to hang the kindly uncle. I forget. No good reason. But God's name is never mentioned. And that's a little strange. And everybody has said ever since the beginning. So why is this book, you know, we all just said the word of the Lord. So what's it doing in the Bible? It's a nice story and all, but maybe it should be over there with Reader's Digest or something. How come it's here in the Bible? Because God's name isn't mentioned. Now, it's always seemed to me that we ought to pay attention to what the Jewish rabbis have said over the years, because they've been studying the Bible three times as long as we have, same Bible. So we ought to pay attention to what they had to say about all this. And so the rabbis looked at this book of Esther and said, Huh? I mean, it's a nice story, but how come God's name isn't mentioned? And what they came up with, that what Esther teaches us, and remember, I know more Quechin than I do Hebrew, so I don't know how to say this. What they came up with, said the Jewish rabbis, is the book of Esther teaches us about Hester Panim, the hiding of the face. And that's why people wear costumes when they celebrate it in the spring, Purim. The hiding of the face. That there are times in life, and there are times in history, when God is hiding. That clearly God is active in the book of Esther, because God's always active. That he's hiding. Hester Panim. There are times when the face of God is hidden. That God's clearly there in the story because it all works out okay. But he's hiding. So when we go to celebrate in the spring, we'll wear masks because God hides. God hides. There are times in world history, pretend you're Jewish, remember the Holocaust. There are times in your own lives when God is hiding. And you may not be aware of it, but God is still there, still active, still working things out. Because you bear and are created in the image of God. The hiding of the face that the book of Esther teaches. That God is active in the world, whether you can see him or not. Because God is bigger than you think he is. Lord Jesus, says James, John, Andrew, Peter, those people over there are doing things and they're not part of our group, goes the gospel this morning. Tell them to stop. They're not part of us and they're doing things over there. Don't you get it, says the Lord Jesus. Anybody who's not working against us, they're part of us. God is big. It involves everybody. It's a big thing. It's not a little thing. God's not tied up in Roger's box up there by the altar. God is big. Teaches the book of Esther. God is big, says the Lord Jesus. He's involved with everybody. He's involved in the world. Sometimes obvious. Hello, birch tree in September. Sometimes hiding. But he's involved in the world. Involved with everybody. So here are the apostles mumbling about those people. They're not part of our group, but... Tell them to stop. Don't you get it? Anybody not working against us is for us. Even if they're Baptists. Even if they're Lutherans. Even God is big. God is big. Quit trying to put him in a box. Says, it's so important, says the Lord Jesus, to see how big and active God is in the world. The Gospel of Mark, what we're reading from this spring. This isn't nice and quiet, friendly Jesus who plays with little kids and sheep. The Jesus Mark writes about says some tough stuff. This is the Lord Christ that's a little bit scary. This is the Lord Christ who's going to say some kind of maybe rough things to you, like maybe your uncle did or somebody. This is the Lord Christ who's going to say, wake up! This is the Lord Christ that's going to say, if your hand causes you to mess up, cut it off. It's better to enter life with one hand than to miss it and go to hell. If your foot causes you to mess up, cut it off. If your eye causes you to mess up, pluck it out. Whatever it is, it's, you know, this is rough language. Cut it off, pluck it out. Yeah. This isn't, I love you. This isn't Jesus like Barney. I love you, you love me, we're all a happy family. Da-da-da, I'm just a big purple dinosaur here in Galilee. It's not that Jesus, that's not the Lord Christ. This is cut it off. Whatever it is keeping you from seeing the kingdom of God is keeping you from being alive. Because if you don't see the kingdom of God, then you're dead. That's what he said right there. If you don't see the kingdom of God around you, if you don't get to catch a sense of how big God is and what he's doing in the world, then you might as well just be dead. That's tough stuff. But it's that important. It's that important to be aware that God is involved with all of us. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean cut off hands, cut off feet, pluck out your eyes. I don't know what the biblical literalists do with this passage. But it does mean whatever it is that's keeping you, keeping me from being aware of God and the world, stop it. Just stop it so you can get a sense of how wonderful God is. Whatever that takes, do it now. It's that important, he says. So, let me give you a confession. It doesn't have anything to do with cutting off hands or feet or eyes. But most of the time, whatever it is that keeps us from being aware of God is in our own head. So I got to spend 4 or 5 days in Beaver last week, where, if you're a visitor, Beaver's about 120 miles that way on the north bank of the Yukon River. And Beaver is not a very stressful place. At least it's not what I'm... That's why I go there. It's not a very stressful place. The big question of the day is the mail plane going to come in or not? And these days, what about the large animals that are coming in at the far end of town? And is it safe to walk down that way? But it's not a very stressful place. There's not a lot of, oh, geez, I got to go do this, I got to do that. You know, you don't pack the wood in, you'll get cold. It's no big deal. So it's not, but there's all kinds of stress going on. Last week, we carry stress with us. So last week, when I was over there, Beaver's, if you haven't been there, it's about 70 people. If you rounded everybody up. If not, 23, I don't know. From the fairs in town. Anyway, last Tuesday night, we were going to have church in Beaver. That's what you do. You have church, And it's not that easy to have church in Beaver or any of these places. I mean, it's not like you can just drive up and go to church. You got to make sure the place is heated. You got to make sure maybe the power's on. You got to make sure the generator's working. You got to make sure, you can't just walk in the door and have church. You got to set things up. So we were going to have church at 6 because people work till 5 and because we're going to have a cover dish in the back of the church after the service, and we know Scott talks too long, so we got to start the service early so we can eat sometime before midnight. So we're going to start church at 6, so maybe we'll finally get to eat about 8 or 9 or whenever Scott shuts up so we can eat. And so we got to get all the stuff to the church, which is over there. And you can't just throw it in your car. You ain't got no car. Well, maybe there's a car. There's a big truck. But other than that, there's no cars in Beaver. So you got to load it all on the sled. And you got to find cardboard boxes to put the bowls of potato salad in and all this kind of stuff. And to load in the sled, to haul in the four-wheeler, to get it up to the church. So, you know, we're just going to have church. It ain't that easy having church in Beaver. And so I'm trying to move things along because I know we got to start church because I'm going to talk too long, so we got to start church at 6 and and we're trying to move everything up to the church, and all the boxes and all the things. And there's this three-year-old named William who's the grandson. And three-year-olds don't just necessarily jump up and go do things. I mean, okay, William, we got to get your boots on. Okay, William, we got to get your coat, wear the glove, So it takes a while to get this whole show moving. Just to try to go to church, and I'm trying to watch the clock to get things moving along. Come on, William, let's go. We got the four-wheeler loaded, we got the sled loaded, we got the boxes loaded. Let's go. William's kind of playing along. And the weather's awful. The weather's just awful. And we finally get him out of the house, at least. That's a good beginning. And now I got to get him on the four-wheeler. Okay, William, here we go. William's just standing there. Here we go, William. Got to go to church. We're going to go to God's house. God's up there. We're going to go have God. William, let's go. Here we go, William. Come on, we got to move. People are, I can see the grandmothers walking up the road to church. We got to go. The grandmothers are all going to get mad. We got to get to church. And just standing there like that. Father, William, what are you doing? You try, Grandpa. You try, Grandpa. See if you can cast the snow on your tongue. William was closer to the kingdom of God than I was. Whatever it is keeping you from taking a moment to catch snow on your tongue, to be aware of the wonder of God in this world. Pay attention, says the Lord Christ. Pay attention. Amen. So I invite you to stand, mouths open or not. And we'll continue with the Nicene Creed, page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, Maker, God, and the earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified upon his side. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. For the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 5, page 389. Page
389. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Catherine, our presiding bishop, for Rustin, our assisting bishop, for the search process that will identify our next bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease, and that all may be one, as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the Church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who do not yet believe, and for those who have lost their faith, that they may receive the light of the gospel, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a blessing upon all human labor and for the right use of the riches of creation, that the world may be freed from poverty, famine, and disaster, we pray to you, O Lord. For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our enemies and those who wish us harm, and for all whom we have injured or offended, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ourselves, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to amend our lives, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
This morning in particular, we pray for St. Matthew's Beaver, St. Andrew's, Stephen's Village, the village of Rampart, for St. Jude's North Pole, St. Mark's, Nemana, St. Luke's, Shagala, and St. Luke's Anglican, Old Crow, Yukon Territory. We pray for the church in Taiwan and the native people in the Diocese of Montana. In our parish intercessions, we remember the flooded communities and families of the interior. We pray for the Reverend Berkman Silas and the Reverend Seymour Tuzeridu. We pray for Candy, Essie, Isaac, Kristen, Arnold, Howard, Audrey, Linda, Harold, Beverly, Sharon, and Louise. We pray for Carly, Hannah, Arthur, Elmerline, Phyllis, Mary, Richard, Elaine, Vince, Dolly, Henry, and Rita. We pray for Kitson and Mona, Rolf, Catherine, Caleb, Joan, James, Kathy, Byron, Norma, Frank, Maggie, Frank, and Felicia. We pray for those traveling, for those in recovery, for all those serving overseas and their families, for our family in Denali Center, the Pioneer Home, the correctional centers, and other homes and programs, for all those grieving, for all those others that you add now.
For Isabel in the hospital, for Heather having surgery this week,
for all these things, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, remembering especially this morning Art Jr., George, Jimmy, and Bertha, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord. Even as we have prayed, Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Everyone gets to arrive. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Share that with each other. Okay. Moving along. Various organists keep doing things. Most of the announcements are in the bulletin, but not all the announcements are in the bulletin. Let me just call your attention to some of them. As you can tell, Sunday school began. Ta-da! And they'll be back in for communion. And if you'd like to help in any way with what they're doing, there's sign-up sheets in the parish hall. Also, as you can tell from behind me, the choir is back after a summer vacation. It's nice to have their company. Bella and Steve and I were getting lonely.
Other things are going on. The health ministry prayer shawl people are meeting this afternoon. There's a health ministry meeting tomorrow. There's a nice article about the health ministry in this morning's paper, in case you wondered, what is the health ministry? There it is. Corrections from the bulletin. Tuesday night, there's a vestry meeting. You can come if you want. I mean, if you've really always wanted to come to a vestry meeting, you're welcome to come. But mainly it's the vestry's going to sit around and do it. It's not like a for everybody thing. But if you want to come, you can come. We won't throw you out. If you've always wanted to go, gosh, I'd like to go to a vestry, 4-hour vestry meeting on a Tuesday night, this is your chance. Huh? Is it? Yeah, it's mostly true. I can tell you what we're going to do. We're going to try to put together the calendar for next year. Is there food? Oh. That's a good question. I don't know. Next Sunday, continuing our theme of quiet, sedate services, calm and peaceful. Next Sunday is the Feast of St. Francis. And as we have in years past, we will be blessing animals and our relationship with them. Next Sunday, all kinds of animals, stuffed and otherwise. If you got a teddy bear and it can behave itself, bring it in and we'll say a prayer for you and the teddy bear. Polite animals and animals that aren't freaked out at being inside a church with everything else, they're prayed for during the service. More rowdy animals, or animals that might be bothered by being with other animals, are blessed after the service. And that's next Sunday. That's next Sunday. In 2 weeks, the Diocesan Convention, the statewide meeting of the Episcopal Churches, is being held in Anchorage. St. Matthew has voted to send, as our delegates, Laura Bender, Julia Cockrell, who's hiding up there, and Mary Margaret Davis, and me, because I have to go. And if you have any questions about the church, state, local, regional, whatever, if you have any questions, if you have any ideas, if you have anything you would like for them to carry to this meeting, speak to one of the delegates, there's one right there, or speak to any of the vestry members, and they'll speak to them. And there's information about all this posted in the back. There's probably other announcements. Helen Howard wants us to announce the Blue Box UTO offering is in about a month. Any other announcements? Anything I missed? Okay. Are there any visitors or newcomers who'd like to introduce themselves? You get an award if you tell us who you are. You have to tell us who you are.
Diana Chase. I'm here for several months from Louisiana.
Nice to have you here. Yes, sir.
We're Gordon and Carol Warner from Central Florida, St. Thomas Episcopal Church. And you may have seen Carol's name in the paper. She was just installed in the University Hall of Fame.
And that's why someone would come from Central Florida to the Fairbanks at the end of September. Wow.
That's the only reason.
Yes?
I'm Bill Weaver. I'm visiting from St. Anthony's in Silverdale, Washington. I'm up there to work at Fort Wainwright. This is my only Sunday panel. I'll be back up in November to come see you.
There you go. There you are. Miss anybody else? Now, speaking of prizes and door prizes, we have an award for the visitor that's come the farthest. This must be Florida, I'd think, right? Is that what it was? Florida? This is for you to officially welcome me here. A whole can. In case you get stuck between here and there. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries? Really?
Well, my son
That can't, Tuesday? That counts. We're allowed to pray for Eve. Anybody else? It takes somebody to break trail. Anybody? Yes. Oh, yeah, well. Wait, here comes Ms. Blukens. Okay, because we got visitors from all over the place. Let's do first names of who we're praying for.
Natasha.
For Natasha.
My daughter Natalie.
For Natalie.
My daughter Jay.
Jay.
For
Jay.
My son Ethan.
For Ethan.
And Tom and Barbara.
Tom and Barbara, whose anniversary was yesterday.
Last.
Okay, so we'll throw the anniversary into the birthday prayer, and we'll use. On page 830, prayer 50, as we pray for everybody from Natasha, remember, to Tom and Barbara. Oh God, our times are in your hands. Look with favor, we pray, on your servants, Natasha, Natalie, Jay, Ethan, Tom and Barbara, as they all begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace, and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord of wonder and delight, in this season of trees filled with light, beauty and new beginnings, behold the gift of your friends whom you brought into your creation this time of year, or who began their life together this time of year. Let indeed the light of your Spirit continue to fill their hearts. The song of angels sing them to sleep at night. And your blessing go before them all the days and nights of the year to come. In your name, Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Happy birthday and anniversary, everybody. Oh, you can sing. If there are any other announcements, birthdays, introductions, remember the words of our Lord, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The choir is going to sing.
Over the love is there is love.
continue now with the Great Thanksgiving, page 361. The Lord be with you now.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You formed us in your image and have called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you this morning, joining our voices now with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven who forever are singing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Continues now. You may sit or kneel if you wish, or remain standing, whatever helps you to pray. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us all for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to bring us back to you, the God and Father of us all. And he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, then, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ is
alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you now in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all those we love, with all your saints, into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, O Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, and as Bella Jean leads us first in her language.
G-drin-shit-no-wen-na-nah-sit. Drin-do-tek-wit-an-ah-shah-no-wa-shee.
Amen.
We are bold to pray with her, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
of God for you. So are also the gifts of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on them in your hearts now by faith with thanksgiving. This is the Lord's feast. He invites all to come and share. No one is turned away. We have the honor and privilege of being your servants, servants at last. So we invite the front pews to come forward first, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's coffee and conversation and prayer shawl meetings in the back. There's snow, rain, sleet, fog. A little bit of everything.